Hey there, welcome to Board Game Hot Takes, the podcast where we give our immediate reactions to the hottest board games just minutes after playing them. My name's Tim, and I'm joined by Chris and Adam to give our hot takes on the game we just finished playing, Terraforming Mars. Terraforming Mars is a tableau-building board control game with cooperative global goals that has players investing in technology projects that will allow them to be the most influential corporation in the terraforming of Mars. This game was designed by Jacob Frixelius and published by Stronghold Games. So let's jump in and get our hot takes on Terraforming Mars. I'm going to start with Chris here. Chris, what do you think of the production of Terraforming Mars?
Man, do I have mixed feelings about that. It's a great game, first of all. I mean, it is a phenomenal game, and it deserves its place near the top of the best games of all time. For the physical board game, if you buy the standard set, it's pretty bad. I mean, you've got a bunch of cardboard chits and tiles and various things. There are lots of upgrades available aftermarket, including they finally did on Kickstarter put out a full set with a big box and some really nice printed, 3D printed tiles. But if you buy the original version, it's not great. But honestly, with this game, the quality of the play is so high that I can forgive some pretty bad production.
Yeah, what about you, Adam? How do you feel about the production on Terraforming Mars?
So yeah, I'm with Chris on this one. It was my first kind of board game of the modern era, so it's near and dear to my heart. And I didn't know any better. So I played 30 to 40 times, I didn't know any better. I thought it was rad, moving cubes around, this and that. And then, you know, you accidentally sneeze and cubes go flying everywhere. And then, so that got pretty frustrating. But again, I didn't know any better at the time. So I loved everything about it. And then I got a little more savvy on board games as I played more and got a little more experience. And then, so yeah, then, you know, oh, I can get some double layering and keep these cubes from flying around. Oh, perfect. And then, I can get some inserts for the box to help organize everything. So yeah, as you find out more and more, you might realize that the production is a little bit sorry as far as components go. But I like the campiness. Some of the cards are pretty campy, which I don't mind at all. And the artwork is like ranges from clip art to some pretty neat M.C. Escher-esque illustrations on the standard projects or the ones that gives a discount for standard projects. So the art varies, but overall, once you get the few aftermarkets that help out the game a lot, I enjoy the production.
Man, I had to laugh out loud at that thing about clip art. It definitely has the clip art feel to it.
Right.
So, you know, this game, when I really started getting the board game hobby a few years ago and started to pay attention to, you know, podcasts and was really getting a feel for what was hot in board gaming, Terraforming Mars was really popular at the time. It was just coming out. It sounded fantastic. You know, everything I heard about it sounded great, but I looked at it and I listened to some people's discussion about the card art and the, you know, the thinness of the player boards. And I was like, no way. Game's popular. They'll come out with a couple of years down the road, they'll come out with an upgraded version, a special version that's going to have new card art, upgraded components. I'll wait for that. So I waited 3 years, maybe 4 years that I've been listening for this game. And about a year ago, I convinced Chris to pick it up. We got it to the table and I just fell in love with the game. Just fantastic. But it is an ugly, ugly piece of cardboard. the graphic design, the user interface of the graphic design is fantastic. In my opinion, it works great. The way the player boards are laid out and show you exactly what you need to know, like how to use the transferring energy to heat production, how to transfer plants to be forest tiles. The graphic, you know, the layout, the user experience is fantastic on the player boards. It's fantastic on the board. Everything is very clearly laid out. No problems there at all. But even outside of the card art, the way they did the graphic design, it is so outdated. It feels so, it's like, you know, 1987, like early BBS internet is what it feels like. It's just so bad. So I was really put off for it for a long time, but after the first play of it, I was like, I don't even care. I love this game, but I was still holding out for a long time to see if there was going to be an upgraded version that came out. And when they just did the Kickstarter, you know, a few months back with that big box that Chris was talking about with the upgraded 3D printed tiles, I was like, okay, I think it's pretty clear that Stronghold Games is not going to, you know, sell this and have all these components and all these expansions and then eventually replace it with like an upgraded version. So I finally bit the bullet. I bought my own copy. I'm so glad I did. It's probably one of my favorite games of all time. But going back to production, yeah, you know, out of the box, the art on the cards, the graphic design, the thinness of the player boards, which are completely almost unusable, is it's a pretty big shame. Right now for the price, you know, you can pick it up for about $40 on Amazon or whatever. So for the price, yeah, but you know, it doesn't feel too bad. There's a lot of plastic bits in there. There's a lot of cardboard. It seems okay, but I remember when it first came out, it was like MSRP was like $70.
Yeah.
And that's what it was selling for. And for $70, it's a pretty big mess. One interesting thing about the art on the cards, and I think one of the reasons why they've stuck to their guns with it and just stayed with it, is that the designer, Jacob Frixelli, I think is how it's pronounced, his brother is the artist on the board, on the game. In fact, it's kind of cute. I don't know the whole backstory, but what I've seen is it almost looks like Jacob worked with his whole family. I think he's got like six brothers. And the whole family kind of designed this together over several years, and his one brother did the art on it. And so it's kind of a really fun, like, you know, like one of the best games of all time was created by a bunch of amateurs, you know, just a family that was working together trying to create a really cool board game. But that doesn't mean you should pick your brother to do the art.
Nothing like a little nepotism, dude. Yeah, actually, Tim, you made a comment to me once that stuck in my head, and it has forever in my mind remediated the art on this game. And that is, you said that it reminded you of the crappy art you'd have in a grade school textbook. And now I look at it and I'm like, it is absolutely what it looks like. There's a card where you get to, you know, have pets on Mars, and it's got a goofy little picture of a poodle. See, it's that kind of a thing. And now I look at that and I had this kind of soft spot in my heart for it. So
I think that might be a Maltese Terrier, not a poodle, Chris, but I forgive you for mistaking that.
I'm a gamer, not a dog expert.
I think you guys are being a little too harsh on the art. I think some of it is pretty, you know, it's beyond a couple steps above the clip art. There's some, like, I don't know, asteroids and science-y looking stuff. Maybe that's all clip art too, but it looks cool to me.
Well, I will say, I am really glad that even though the art is not good, in my opinion, that every single card is unique in the game. And they could have gone simpler, both in a design and an art production perspective, and just, you know, done a lot of duplicate cards. And I think the game would have still worked pretty well. You know, you two different players could obviously throw an asteroid at the surface of Mars if they needed to. But it's pretty awesome that every single card in the game is actually unique. And so, you know, I'll forgive the poor art because of the variety and just the fantastic gameplay, which we'll get to in a second. I did want to touch too, though, when we're talking about production, Chris, you mentioned the player boards and Adam, just about how you sneeze and it goes everywhere. Yeah, this is probably the biggest, and I don't think this is a new statement, obviously. I think everybody understands this. So this is probably the biggest culprit of a game that deserved a dual layer player board. You know, that needs it, because you've got so many tokens sitting there that can be bumped around and jostled. There have been some great aftermarket versions, but the official version, the official double layer player board that was released with the Kickstarter on the most recent expansion is probably the best version that I've seen. And I picked it up when I got my copy, and I love it. It's great. It keeps all the great user experience and the user interface of the original player board.
Is that the Turmoil expansion?
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Did you pick that one up, Adam?
I have it. It's still sitting there in the shrink wrap. I haven't even used it. So
were the dual layer player boards included in that box, or did you have to do it? Were those an add-on in that Kickstarter? Do you
remember? That's a good question. I think they're included, but I'm not 100% on that.
Okay. Okay. I don't think they were after the Kickstarter, at least, because I know that like they sell them separate on BoardGameGeek. The Board Game Geek market, and then you can buy the expansion, but it doesn't come with those player boards. But I think the Kickstarter version did include them, okay. So yours probably does have it. it's a unfortunate mess, but it is forgivable because at least it doesn't hurt the user experience once you deal with the, you know, the flimsy player boards. Even though all the tokens are pretty fantastic. I mean, you know, people complain about the little you know, money tokens, the different the gold, the silver, and the copper of them chipping over time, but yeah. they're still pretty cool. I mean, they're these, you know, nice shiny different sized plastic cubes that look like metal cubes.
They and
I
do.
Think that's really neat. I will say though that even though my copy, which has only been played about 10 times or so, they still are in pretty good condition. I actually went in on that last Kickstarter with the big box, and they are selling metal, like actual metal cube upgrades for those pieces. So I'm looking forward to how I wasted my money on that at some point.
Yeah, it was not cheap either. I think you had to pay about $40 for those metal cubes.
I think it was 60.
Kind of insane. It was. I still did it.
Yeah. Oh, you did too.
I did it anyway.
What else did you pick up from that Kickstarter, Chris? I didn't even know that did you go in on the big box too?
Yeah, I had to. Nice. Which the irony, of course, is that, you know, like a year ago, I spent about $150 buying a third party aftermarket set of 3D printed tiles, like from some dude in Poland. And now I see the new Kickstarter comes out and it's the most beautiful tiles I've ever seen. And I'm like, okay, well, spent $100 on it, plus the 60 or whatever it was for the metal token. So, man, this game better get some play.
yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I bought the big box as well. I think I really liked at least what they were going to look like. We haven't seen a final version, like an actual, you know, printed version of the new upgraded tiles that came in the official Kickstarter. But the renditions of it, the 3D renditions of it, looked fantastic. I really liked the, you know, colors that they picked and the layout on them and stuff like that. So I'm really excited to get those in my hands sometime next year. We'll see what
they hopefully happen.
I also did I have only played the only expansion I played for this so far was the Hellas and Elysian expansion. I think we just played the Hellas board on it one time, but I in that Kickstarter I went ahead and just picked up every expansion for the game.
Might as well. Yeah,
there's some kind of
there's some content there. I think this game's got legs. I think I'll be wanting to play this one for years and years to come. All right. Any other comments on the production, you guys?
Man, well, I'll say this. After the trash talking we did on this game, I suspect we're not going to get called on for an endorsement from these guys.
don't worry. Don't worry. I don't think we're saying anything that hasn't been said before. So, all right. Well, let's jump into the next question. So I'll start with Adam this time. Adam, how did this game make you feel, and did you have fun playing it?
And this game is, like I mentioned earlier, it's near and dear to my heart. It's one of the first that kind of introduced me to the I don't know, for me, what's the modern era of board gaming. I started playing this one about three and a half, four years ago. I think I have 100 plays or something like that, something ridiculous, right? So I always enjoy playing this game. I like seeing over time the kind of, in realizing the synergies between the different cards and how you can set stuff up and time it just right to advance yourself a little sneakier than anybody else, or being able to see some stuff that other people might not see. So I enjoy it. I really love playing this game. It makes me feel great. I get that sense of wonder and exploration. I like kind of thinking about the grand scale of terraforming a planet and, you know, is it really possible? Are we going to do this someday? Maybe. So I like thinking about all those kinds of things when I'm playing this game.
The way this game makes me feel most of the time is just excited. From the very moment that we get dealt our first 10 cards and the corporation cards to pick from, I just love, you know, getting the opportunity to like make those choices and try to figure out what things are going to work together. It's just fun. And so every round we play with the drafting in between rounds for every generation, and every round that drafting piece is just, it's just exciting to see what's coming, see what gets passed to me after every card, and if it's going to fit into my strategy and if I can use it. So to me, this is one of those games that it's exciting every single, you know, round, and the choices that are presented are going to be interesting. The other thing that I have to say, that every time this game does a really great job, and I think this is built on that mechanism of the fact that when you take your turn, you get to take either one action or two actions. And that's a really clever feature, because what it means a lot of the time is that you can set yourself up, or someone else can set themselves up, to kind of steal things out from other players, whether that's a space on the board or whether it's trying to get one of the bonuses on the terraforming tracks or trying to close out a bonus before someone else does. But the fact that you can just take one turn and pass, let someone else do something, and then you can jump in and do two actions or, you know, kind of save actions for later when you can benefit from them more. That's a really interesting strategic option that you get throughout the course of the game. But it's just always fun. Like there were several rounds in this game where I had what I needed to get that one oxygen production and get the temperature bonus on the oxygen track. Except before I did that, I wanted to get the wildlife reserve tile out so that I could get the bonus from doing something else. And so I did that first, and then someone else came in and stole the oxygen track bonus from me. So it's always like a little bit, there's always those nerves of, am I going to lose what I, you know, could possibly do here by taking this other action? So it's a lot of really fun choices throughout. And I think I just used the word fun like 15 times. So I think I answered the question. Did I have fun? Absolutely. I really felt like this particular game, especially, you know, I didn't feel like I was doing very well most of the game. I ended up coming in second. So I ended up, you know, kind of falling in a better space than I thought I was going to. But the whole time I was excited about what I was building up to and what my options were and you know, seeing what other people were doing too. So I definitely had fun, and this game just gets me excited every time. What about you, Chris? How did the game make you feel tonight?
Well, my role in the ecosystem of our game group is to lose big and then get grumbly about it. So it makes me feel pissed off. just kidding. In all seriousness, I do love this game. I didn't have the best game night tonight with it, but you know, what are you going to do? The thing that I really enjoy about the gameplay is that there are literally endless different strategies you can use to try to win. You can try to win by getting lots of tiles on the board and owning a lot of real estate. You can try to get end of game scoring cards with lots of points on them. There's this, for those who have played the game, there's this kind of oddball version of trying to get end of game points where you get to put your little player markers on cards as you go for things like microbes. And I decided I'd give that a try this time. And I, you know, sure enough, from the very beginning of the game, I got a couple of microbe cards and I dutifully put microbes on them every single doggone turn of the entire game, thinking I was going to rock the world. Ended up getting like 3 points for it. But, you know, if I had done it effectively, that probably could have been a reasonably good strategy. But you really can go in a million different directions. And so you can have four different people playing four entirely different games. And it's just really interesting to see in a particular game, any given game, what strategy ends up winning.
Yeah, that was really interesting tonight, Chris. I think tonight's play, and I've probably played this game about 20 times in person or so, and then many more on the iPad app, which is pretty fantastic. Of any game I played, I think this was the most focused and diverse strategies I've seen with the four players. You know, Steve went all in on the Jovian cards. I mean, he must have picked up every single Jovian tag that was in the deck. Chris, you went all in on the microbe cards this time, and I think you had almost every microbe card in the deck. And I was really focused on steel production and trying to take advantage of that, which didn't work out so well for me, but I did have a focus and I was really doing those things that gave me discounts on, you know, let me trade in steel for money and gave me bonuses for using steel and titanium. And then Adam, I'm not sure what you did, but somehow you took away the game. So.
He was winning. That's what he
my
was
strategy doing. Was focusing on getting the most points. So
yeah, that seemed to work out pretty well. We'll have to try that one in the future. But yeah, that's a good point, Chris, is just that there is a lot of different strategies here, and they don't always get to be as focused as we saw tonight. For the three of us that lost, of course, we all had our super focused strategies. It didn't work out for us, but it is fun when you get to just find that, you know, little niche and try to drive it and exploit it and take advantage of it as much as you can. I did want to call out, though, since the three of us all have a pretty positive opinion of this game, I mean, I'd say very, very positive, but our one other player who's not with us tonight, Steve, at one point during the game, and we knew he's played this a couple times, and we knew he wasn't a big fan of it. We were about maybe 2/3 of the way through the game, and Steve said, you know, I love you guys, but this has got to be the most boring game I've ever played in my life. So it's, you know, it's interesting how it's not for everybody. Like ever since I first played this game, I just loved it. I loved every decision that comes, and it's not the perfect game for everybody. Anyway, I think we have a lot of fun with it. So just a couple more questions here, just so that we can give our listeners a little bit of a feel of what it's like to play this game. Adam, what was your favorite moment of the game tonight?
You touched on it. I did like seeing everybody go after the different strategies and really propel themselves, like fully commit. Especially Steve, man, he went full in on the Jovian strategy, like you were saying. So he had the IO mining industries that gives you one per Jovian tag. And then he had the one of the other ones, Ganymede Colony, or I forget which one, that gives you another one per Jovian tag. And he ended up with six Jovian tags, which is pretty impressive. So that can, you know, he launched himself out there pretty good with that. So just seeing everyone dive in and really commit to that kind of unique niche strategy was pretty neat. I don't really have a specific, like, oh, Chris, like, savagely stuck the knife in my back and then twisted it hard and then I purged all these, like, and then he stole all my garden. So I don't have anything, you know, extra cool. There wasn't that, like, solid. Maybe that's kind of a little bit different in this game. There's, for me, there wasn't that solid backbreaker moment or moment, you know, pivotal key moment when I knew I was going to take the victory.
What about you, Chris? Any moments that stood out to you?
Well, first of all, I wish I had done that moment where I stuck the knife in and then turned it. That would have probably ended up better up for me. It wasn't exactly a moment, but it was one little aspect that I really liked is that we really did end up going in pretty heavy. You and I both got several of those cards where you add animals or microbes or whatnot. So I had a bunch of microbes. I had livestock. You had the pets. And for some reason, that pets card, the second time I mentioned it tonight, just always puts a smile on my face. This is just so doggone funny. But I liked seeing that coming out, and every time a new city went out, you're like, ooh, I get to put out a pet. I just thought that was super funny.
So I'm not even going to say these are my favorite moments, but they did stand out to me. In fact, they were my most frustrating moments. But man, you know, this game, for the most part, is fairly solitary. You know, you're not really impacting other players, but there's a handful of cards in the game that let you take away production from other players or take away resources. Oh, man, every time Adam got one of those, he hit me with it tonight. And man, and it was just at the right moment, like taking away my plant production right when I was about to be able to hit a forest the next turn if I got all my production, or taking away money just in the turn that I had decided exactly how I was going to spend it. And it ended up taking away some of my options for the turn. You know, not necessarily positive moments for me in this game, but those are actually moments that stand out to me, and that, like, you really can mess with other people's strategies if you're paying attention. A couple of things that I did, like, for example, when I did the nuclear, I forget what it's called, but nuclear blast or nuclear site or whatever on the board, you know, that card costs you 2 points. So it's a negative 2 points at the end of the game. But it does give you raises the temperature twice, which means you get the terraforming rating. So it's basically a wash. You know, point wise, you might get a little more money production over the course of the game because you get the terraforming ratings increase earlier on. But it's kind of a wash. But the main reason I did it is because I could see Adam kind of walking away with the game, and I wanted to put it right next to his city so that he had, you know, could get two less points for placing a plant right there. It's the game gives you good options to kind of watch who's, if the players are playing on the same skill level and they know how the game works, it gives you good options to watch for, you know, kind of who's running away with the strategy and try to get in their way and block them a little bit. And that always is fun moments for me. All right, cool. So I think this is a pretty clear answer from all three of us this time, but Chris, would you request to play this game again?
I would. It's not a game I want to play every single day. There are other games I enjoy more, but this is always a solid choice. I'll never say no to a game of terraforming.
What about you, Adam?
Yeah, I'm the same. I've never tried the Turmoil expansion, so I wouldn't mind giving that a shot. But I'd play it. I'd play the base game. I'd play it with expansions. The Prelude's pretty nice expansion, which we didn't play with that tonight, but that speeds things up a little bit. Yeah, I would never say no to a game of Terraforming Mars.
And Adam, you've said you've played about 100 games of this at this point. Is it feeling stale for you at all, or do you still get excited about it?
So I do. I enjoy finding those synergies and then, you know, scouring through the deck and be like, okay, this one matches this one. And then I'm going to do this combo and I'm going to go for it. And hopefully I get this card coming up soon. And then I like the map aspect. I think it was overlooked a lot because that's, you get a lot of the player interaction on the map and a lot of variability as far as where people are maneuvering, putting their cities out. And if, you know, if you get a city garden combo going, you can really rack in some points. I think that does go overlooked, like you're saying, with the nuclear bomb or whatever it's called, cards like that, that allow you to block and maybe prevent people from going off in a certain direction. I enjoy that part. A lot of the player interaction and a lot of the variability comes in there, in addition to the randomness of the cards coming out. So for me, it has it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I requested to play it tonight, so I think that answers my question. But absolutely, I still think I have a hard time finding a game that I wouldn't say that I would say I prefer more than this game most of the time. Now, I don't think it's the perfect game on every night. And like, clearly, you know, one of our four players is not a big fan of it, so we won't, you know, torture him too often and do it. But if it was just, you know, people that enjoyed the game, I would always want to get it out when possible. And there's so much more to explore. I mean, I probably played, you know, 20 or so games in person and another 30 or so. So I'm probably somewhere around 50 plays all in, but they've been almost all just with the base game content. And so I still feel like even though I've got a lot to explore in the base game and, you know, to grow with it and continue learning and have fun with it, there's a lot of expansion content that's out there to explore too. So I'm looking forward to getting that and discovering it at some point. So I'll definitely be requesting this game for a long time to come. I think one of the things that I found really interesting tonight that was unique is that a lot of my plays have been two player in it. And we played four player. I've played a few four player games, but we played four tonight, and it just cuts down the number of generations by a lot. So it doesn't shorten the length of the game, of course, but it just means that, you know, you really have to change how you play the game. And so I think even just exploring it at different player counts, there's still a lot in the box and a lot to discover and try to work out the best strategies. And I am determined that the next time we play it, I am going to beat you, Adam. So with your 100 plays, I'm coming after you.
I wish you luck.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. So that covers our hot takes on Terraforming Mars. Now, Terraforming Mars is a game that we've all played quite a bit. So tonight, you know, we have some experience with it. And in the future on the podcast, we may be covering games that we're just playing for the first time. Outside of Terraforming Mars tonight, one last question for you guys. Is there anything exciting in board gaming that you're looking forward to this week?
Well, actually, I do have something exciting that I'm looking forward to. And that is, I just last week got my copy of Calico from Kickstarter, and I have yet to play it. I've looked at it. I've taken it out of the box. I've punched out all the little pieces, and it's looking pretty cool, and I'm psyched to get into it.
Awesome. Are you? Is Rachel likely to play that with you? Is she going to give it a shot?
Oddly enough, my wife, who is not a gamer, that's the first game that she actually saw and goes, this is really intriguing, probably because it has cats and quilts.
All right. Well, let us know how that goes. Adam, what about you? Anything you're planning to do gaming this week?
Well, yeah, actually, now I think of it, the Spirit Island expansion content Kickstarter, there's a name for it, I forget what it is. That's supposed to deliver relatively soon, and it almost doubles the size of the, I think there's like 10 or 11 new spirits in there and a whole bunch of content. So I'm looking forward to nothing else, just going into that box and digging around and seeing what we got and checking out all the just the writing in there is so good, and just the backstories, the flavor text, and so looking forward to exploring that.
Awesome. Have you played much Spirit Island?
Yeah, I have it. So mostly solo. So I'll pick up two spirits and just kind of play it solo. So when I started, maybe I was playing it wrong, but when I started, I thought it was easy. I used to win like fairly easily. And the last 3, 4, 5 times I played it, I've just been getting my butt kicked. So yeah, I played it maybe 20 times, something like that.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard good things about it. I've never had a chance to play it. So is that the recommended way when you're playing solo to play with two spirits?
I think so. Just having both of those, you know, at least two different spirits, you get to kind of bounce their little powers off each other and get some effects going, some combo effects or some synergistic effects from the two spirits, as opposed to one, you just kind of doing your own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. I've heard it's a fantastic solo game. It's supposed to be a fantastic, if complex, cooperative game. So maybe someday if we get back together in person, maybe we can give it a shot and play a co-op game of it.
That'd be great.
So I've got just a couple of things. One is that Stonemaier Games just put out a comprehensive rule book for Scythe, where essentially they released a rule book that has all of the rules from every expansion, as well as the base game, all the indexes for all of the promo cards and things like that. And I have every single bit of content for Scythe. So that's supposed to be coming in the mail this week. It's probably something that won't get used much, but it's just something fun that I'm excited to put in my big Scythe box and get rid of those a whole bunch of other manuals. And then the other thing is I'm excited to bust out some Gloomhaven Jaws of the Lion again this week. I'm about six scenarios in, having a pretty good time with it, playing two-handed. But I was looking for something solo to play, and we've been locked away for so long, and I've got a lot of great solo Euro games, but I was just starting to feel a little worn out on just playing solo Euro games. So I was looking for something that was a little bit more story-driven and a little bit more of a kind of a campaign. And so I picked up Jaws of the Lion, and that's been a really fun experience. So I'll probably bust that out tomorrow and get a few plays in before the weekend.
Let me ask you about Scythe a little bit before we go anywhere. What's your favorite expansions to play with that? Favorite player counts? How do you like? Have you played with the airships? I played a little bit of Scythe, but never gotten too into it.
Yeah. So I think I have a lot of thoughts on this. I could probably talk for a while on it, but. The first expansion, which was Invaders from Afar, which just added two more factions, I think is great just because the factions add some variety. And, I think that's one of the things that adds good variability to the game. So I like that first expansion a lot. I am not a big fan of the Airships expansion. It's called the Wind Gambit. I have played with it. I've tried it solo and multiplayer, and I never found the Airships add really cool presence to the board, but they just don't add a whole lot to the gameplay from my experience, and it just adds some extra rules complication. So I played with them a few times. Chris, I think you and I played once or twice with them, and basically both of us were like, yeah, not really interested in including those. And then that Wind Gambit expansion has, they call them resolution tiles, but basically different endgame conditions instead of just getting to six stars. And I've tried a number of those, and I really like the way the base game kind of flows and ends. So I haven't dug too far into those, maybe someday in the future. But I will say that by far the best expansion is the Rise of Fenris expansion. It's a campaign expansion. It has a lot of hidden content, so I won't give away spoilers. But Chris and I played a really fantastic two-player campaign of Rise of Fenris. It was a great time, great story, added really cool elements, adds a whole bunch of modular content to the game so that even if you didn't want to play the campaign, it just adds a lot of variety to the game and some modules that I would always want to play again. So that's, I think there's a lot to explore there, Adam. I'm excited at some point when we can get back to playing in person, maybe we'll try to get you introduced to some of the new elements in there as well. But
cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, thanks for the time this week. And to all of you listening, thanks for listening to our hot takes, and we'll see you next week.
See you later.